This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this point, I would like you to turn to page 199 in the front part of your hymnal. Page 199. If you look halfway down that page, you will find a liturgical song called the Nunc Dimittis. And we sometimes sing this liturgical song after the Lord's Supper. What I'd like to do now is to read it out loud together. So just read it along with me. It starts on page 199 and continues on to the next page. Here we go. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now, why is this liturgical song called the Nunc Dimittis? Well, those two words, Nunc Dimittis, are Latin. The word Nunc means now, and the word Dimittis means to depart. Simply put, then, the words Nunc Dimittis are the title of the Latin translation of the Song of Simeon, which we find in today's Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. So then, what does the Nunc Dimittis mean for us? And why do we sing it after the Lord's Supper? Well, listen closely as we examine today's reading, and you'll get the answer to those questions. First, let's begin by looking at the first verse of our Gospel reading. You can follow along in your bulletin. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, Jesus was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, on Christmas Day, as you know, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, and the text for Christmas Day was Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And today's Gospel reading picks up the very next verse. Today's Gospel reading says that 8 days after Jesus' birth, and according to the teaching of God in the Old Testament, Jesus was circumcised. You see, all male boys in Israel were to be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. Now, you may wonder why the Jews circumcised their baby boys. Well, if you read Genesis chapter 12, you will discover that God chose a man named Abraham, and he told Abraham that the Savior of all people would come through his family line. Therefore, God gave Abraham and all his descendants the ritual sign of circumcision as a way of reminding them that the Savior of all people would come from their nation. But why then the focus on the number 8? Why circumcise boys 8 days after their birth? Well, scholars have debated the symbolic significance of this, but the most obvious comparison seems to be with Holy Week. If you recall, Holy Week began when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a Sunday, the first day of the week. A few days later, on Thursday, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And then, as you know, on a Friday, he died. He rested in the tomb all day on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. And then, again on the first day of the week, he rose from the dead. And so Holy Week begins and ends with Sunday. 8 days in all. Many scholars believe that Jewish boys were circumcised on the eighth day after being born, because the number 8 was prophetic of Holy Week and the salvation that Jesus accomplished for all people during that week. But all this leads to a question. If circumcision was a sign that the Savior of the world would come from the Jewish nation, and if Jesus was and is that Savior, then why was Jesus circumcised? Well, just as Jesus was baptized for completely different reasons than why we are baptized, Jesus was also circumcised for completely different reasons than the Jewish boys were circumcised. Remember, the reason all Jewish boys were circumcised was that this ritual was a sign to them that the Savior of the world would come from the Jewish nation. But Jesus is that Savior. So why was he circumcised? Well, this is a sign that Jesus himself would have offspring. Of course, Jesus would not have physical offspring because he would never marry. Instead, Jesus would have spiritual offspring. In other words, the salvation that Jesus provides results in sinners becoming the children of God. And one of the ways that sinners become children of God is when God adopts us as his own in the waters of holy baptism, where the salvation that Jesus won for all people is delivered to you personally. In fact, this is one reason that many baptism fonts have eight sides. If you tour various Lutheran churches, even Catholic churches or other churches around the United States and Europe, almost all of them have fonts with eight sides. Have you ever wondered why? Well, if you read Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that baptism replaces and supersedes the Old Testament rite of circumcision. Listen to what Paul writes about this there. Listen. He says, "In Christ, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of man, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God." Did you hear that? Christ uses holy baptism to circumcise our hearts so that we repent of our sins and trust in Christ for salvation. In other words, baptism is the new spiritual circumcision done by Christ himself. And that's why many baptism fonts have eight sides. Eight reminds us of circumcision. And baptism is the new spiritual circumcision performed by Christ himself. So then, the reason Jesus was circumcised is that this is God's sign to us that Jesus would have his own spiritual offspring. You see, both Jews and Gentiles who trust in Jesus as their Savior are now God's children. Children who have been born again by water and the Spirit. You also are one of Jesus' offspring. That is, if you trust in him. Jesus died and rose for you, and he adopted you as his own in the waters of holy baptism, which is the spiritual circumcision that was performed on you by Christ himself. The pastor is merely the instrument, the guy who speaks the word and pours the water, but you were actually baptized by Christ himself. Now, with all that said, let's get back to our gospel reading. I want you to look in your bulletin at verses 22 through 24 of Luke chapter 2. Luke says that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed. Now, what is all this about? Well, if you read Leviticus chapter 12, you will see that 40 days after a Jewish woman gives birth to a boy, she is then to go to the temple and give the priest sin offerings that he offers to God on their behalf. Why did God ask them to do this? Well, this was a reminder to them and to us that children inherit our sinful nature, and that we all need to receive salvation. But why wait 40 days? Well, the number 40 was associated with the journey in the wilderness, God leading us through the wilderness and eventually to the promised land. And so 40 symbolizes God leading us through our sin and finally bringing us to salvation. With that understood, we need to ask ourselves a question. Why did Mary and Joseph offer sacrifices if Jesus himself was the sinless Son of God? Well, first of all, Mary and Joseph needed to be reminded that they were sinners and that they needed a Savior. But you have to remember that the sacrifices they were offering pointed ahead to the Savior. In other words, Mary and Joseph obeyed this Old Testament command and offered sacrifices because ultimately those sacrifices were pointing them to Jesus, the real Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, normally, Jewish parents would give the priest a lamb to sacrifice for them. However, if you read Leviticus chapter 12, you will see that if people were very poor, God allowed them to offer less expensive animals, like doves or pigeons. And if you notice in our reading from Luke, that's what Mary and Joseph offered. This is a sign to us that they apparently were very poor. In addition, Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph also consecrated Jesus to the Lord out of obedience to God's teaching. And that teaching is found in Exodus chapter 13. But why? Why would God ask his people to consecrate their firstborn sons to him? Well, I want you to listen closely to these words from Exodus chapter 13. In days to come, when your son asks you, "What does this mean?" In other words, "Why did you consecrate me to the Lord?" Say to him, "With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I redeem each of my firstborn sons." If you recall that classic movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston, you remember that in order to humble Pharaoh so that he would let God's people go, God sent 10 plagues on Egypt. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn male child. But God made a way for his own people to be protected from this plague. You remember what happened. God told them to take a male lamb without defects, to kill it, to shed its blood, to smear that blood on the door frames of their homes, and when the angel of death would come, it would see the blood of the lamb and pass over and spare the firstborn male child living in that home. Now, why did God ask his people to do this? Well, God wanted them to remember that they were spared, not because they were worthy, and not because they were better than the Egyptians. They were spared because they trusted in the Savior that God had promised to send. And that Savior is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, this is very meaningful for us. We need to remember that we're forgiven not because we're better than other people, not because we're worthy. We're forgiven because we trust in the Savior God has sent for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, for many centuries, the Jews consecrated their firstborn males to the Lord as a reminder that they were spared during the Passover. And they were spared because of the Savior God promised to send. But then, why did Mary and Joseph consecrate Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb of God. Why did they consecrate him? Because in this one particular case, this firstborn male child would not be spared. Jesus was the male child, the Son of God, who would be sacrificed so that all people might be saved. And so by bringing Jesus to the temple and consecrating him to God, this was God's sign to him, to them and to all people, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, Luke also tells us about a man named Simeon. Luke makes it clear to us that Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. We're also told that Simeon was righteous and devout. That doesn't mean he was sinless. It means that he lived in daily repentance and faith, trusting in the mercy of God that is possible because of the promised Christ. Well, one day, Mary and Joseph show up with Jesus, and the Spirit reveals to Simeon that Jesus is the promised Christ. So what does Simeon do? Simeon runs up. He takes the baby Jesus in his arms and he says, "Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." You see, here Simeon understood why Israel was special. Israel was not special because they were better than other people. Israel was not special because they were the only ones that God loved. No, Israel was special because they were an instrument through whom God would bring the Savior into the world, the Savior intended for all people. That is why when Jesus finished his work, the purpose for Old Testament Israel as a separate nation ceased to exist. Now the people of God are Jews or Gentiles, anyone who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Simeon understood this. The whole purpose of Israel was that the Savior of the world would come through them. And this would be salvation not only for them, but the light for the Gentiles as well. That's right, Simeon knew that he was holding his Lord and Savior in his arms. What a miracle! He was holding his Creator in his arms. But Simeon also knew that one day this baby would grow up and stretch out his own arms on the cross for Simeon and for all people. That's why Simeon told Mary that one day a spear would pierce her own soul. That was a figurative way of saying that one day Mary would have to watch her own son being nailed to a cross. Imagine that. In addition, even though Jesus would shed his blood for all people, sadly, Simeon says that not all people will trust in him. Simeon said that some would even speak against Jesus. Unfortunately, many have rejected Jesus throughout history. Many still reject him today. There are people right here in Jamestown who mock the cross. Sadly, those who reject Jesus have no hope, and they only have hell in their future. But what you need to remember is that God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for anyone. Therefore, God continues to speak his word to us today, and he uses us to speak his word to others, so that like Simeon, we may embrace Jesus in repentance and faith, trusting in him as our Lord and Savior from sin and death and hell. In addition, Luke also tells us about a woman named Anna. She was an elderly widow, and back then, they didn't have Social Security. Widows often had to rely on the charity of other people just to survive. So Anna would hang around the temple, worshiping God, and hoping that the people gathered there would notice her and have mercy on her. But ultimately, Anna trusted in God alone as her hope and security. Apparently, Anna was there when she heard Simeon talk about Jesus. And what did Anna do? Luke says she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. You know what that means? We get to be like Anna. I think that's why Luke wrote this detail here. We get to be like Anna. Because like her, we have also heard the Nunc Dimittis. We have also heard the Song of Simeon. And therefore, along with Anna, we give thanks to God. And we also tell others about the child, Jesus. In fact, let's get back to the question I asked at the beginning of the sermon. Why in the world do we sing the Nunc Dimittis after the Lord's Supper some Sundays? Well, just as Simeon was able to hold his Creator and Savior in his arms, we are even more blessed because we get to eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ. Simeon thought he was blessed because he was able to hold God in human flesh in his arms. But we are blessed all the more because Jesus says to us, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you." He actually physically becomes part of us. And so after we receive this miraculous and gracious gift, along with Simeon, we rejoice in the fact that God has kept his promise. We rejoice with Simeon that God has sent us a Savior, and he has made him as close to us as he could possibly be. When we receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, we say, "Ah, now I can depart in peace. I can face death itself with certain hope." We can live and die in hope because of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. We have the hope of the resurrection and eternal life with God because of Jesus. We can depart in peace because of Jesus. In closing, Luke tells us that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus eventually returned to Nazareth in Galilee, where Jesus grew up and became strong. Luke says that Jesus was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Here's a wonderful mystery. On the one hand, Jesus was and is fully God, but Jesus also was and is fully human. And because he was fully human, like any other human boy, Jesus grew and became strong. But unlike any other human boy, Jesus was sinless. Also, Jesus was and is God. He was filled with wisdom, Luke says. In our Sunday morning Bible study, we're going through the book of Proverbs. There we are given wisdom itself, Christ's own word. Next Sunday, we're going to learn about the wisdom of the 12-year-old Jesus when he goes to the temple and teaches the teachers. But for now, I want you to remember the Nunc Dimittis. Just think of it. Today, you can depart in peace because God has kept his promise. God has given you a Savior. Jesus took you up in his arms in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus speaks to you today through the reading and preaching of Holy Scripture. Jesus gives you his body and blood every time you receive the Lord's Supper. And just like Anna, you have heard the Nuptiminus. You have heard the Song of Simeon. And that means you can praise God always and tell others about Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.